All right. Well, hello, hello. I don't think you need much introduction, but for those of you who don't know Gary, this is Gary from Nerdrotic. How you doing, Gary?
I am doing great, Dan. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing each other in a couple of months down there in Scottsdale, Arizona, a month and a half even, and that'll be fun.
It will be fun. I actually can't wait. I'm feeling like you guys a little bit. I'm going to be traveling to Egypt first, and I'll actually have something to talk about.
Oh, wow.
I
Awesome.
mean, for like a little bit. I know you guys travel around like constantly. I don't
I
know how you
don't
do it.
I haven't been able to do that so much yet. I'm still been everything stateside, but soon. I plan on getting out of the country here soon and doing some of it, but so far all my travels have been inside the confines of this fabulous country we live in.
That's good enough. I rarely leave my house. I'm a YouTuber.
Yes, I understand that. If I didn't have a the teenager, I'd spend a lot more time inside than I do. So you're going to be doing like internet production, basically, like keeping the video streaming and everything there in Scottsdale, right?
Yeah, so as far as I know, there's going to be like a green room live stream during the event. So there's something going on in between speakers for the folks at home, and I guess for anybody who's there. And I'll be running that and be getting you guys in and whoever else is there, and we're just going to be shooting the shit. It'll be
Oh, heck
fun.
yeah.
Yeah,
That'd be awesome.
it's going to be fun. The
Whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, what? Are we
whoa.
okay?
I bumped the button. Sorry.
No, it's all right.
I started hearing two Garys. I was like,
Whoa.
oh,
I'm in stereo.
yeah.
Yes.
Life is strange.
Yes, the beards are here, chat.
Yes, we
The
are. We're
beards are
bearding
here.
it up. Oh, yes. Hello. Hello, home front. That is me, Dan Richards. It would have been fucking weird if Gary was on time. I guess that's what people are
Yeah.
saying.
I was actually recording a video. I'm like working on a video today, so I had to get something to my editor before we started, and I, of course, waited till last minute. So
Oh, that's understandable. I need to get an editor one of these days. I'm getting to the point where it's just about financially viable, and that is the one part. The editing is the part that it's the most tedious. I like the research. I don't mind filming, but editing, I get sick of listening to myself three and four times in a row.
Yeah. It's a bit rough, and I'm sure Garrett and Perry are sick of it too, completely.
Those are
Yeah,
your editors, I think.
the research part is fun. It's a lot of fun. It's but that's really time consuming.
It is.
Hours and hours and hours.
It is, and then the makes the video editing. It's like the last part of it. You've been busting your butt. You got everything done, and now the last little bit. But you got to put the parsley on the
Yep.
plate just right, or you rest all the rest of that work you put into it. So,
Oh, my
oh.
favorite part is when you go through an edit, what, 50 times, and then you still miss something, right? And it's like, God dang it.
Oh man, yeah, that's rough. I'm watching myself from any time I look at a video from before, like I go back a year and I'm just like, oh man, it's funny how you learn these little things and you don't almost don't even register it until you see from before. You're like, oh my God, I got a lot better.
It's all part of the evolution. So
That's right.
what are you going to talk? Can you say what you're going to
Yeah,
talk about?
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be talking about the stuff I'm going to Longview actually tomorrow to do some research on to finish it up. This elongated skulls that were stolen up from the natives and stuff over here in Washington State, and it was huge number that's just kind of erased from history. And there's all kinds of goofy Freemason involvement, and it's a weird convoluted story that I was really surprised when the guy first told me the information. I thought for sure he was full of shit, and then I started digging into it, and I was just like, holy crap. And yeah, anyway, so it's got me traveling to do research for just a few things. But yeah, basically about a bunch of elongated skulls that were stolen, and how it looks like Freemasons were or some sort of secret society was involved, and planned community. There's a planned city, and just goofy shit, just a bunch of goofy shit.
Well, I think that'd be a good thing to get into because I mean, elongated skulls were in the Americas, like up here, but it's not something we hear much about. And I'm guessing once you dig deeper, you're going to find out they were everywhere. absolutely everywhere, because we're finding out more. I don't know. It's just not talked about a whole lot that there were like trade routes from South America to North America, obviously. Right. But I don't think it's really been put out there, like how extensive they were. And honestly, we don't even know. But I think the elongated skull thing has always fascinated me, because it, I mean, a lot of it is cradle headboarding, right? Mm-hmm. But what does that come from? That has to, you don't just wake up one morning and go, I'm going to like strap this leather straps around my kid's head to see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that the book that I got from the Smithsonian, it's an old 1960s Smithsonian book. It's like super hard to find. And right in the beginning, it's got an account from one of Lewis and Clark's people, and they're talking about them using headboards to elongate the kid's skulls. And they said that it was left on the child for about a year and a half. They only took him out of that to wash them. And it said the eyes bulged from their head like a mouse from a trap. It's like, how the fuck would you do that to your kid unless there was some reason to go with? And like, some people go aliens, some people go other species of hominid, but you know, whatever. There's something that they're emulating there.
It has to emulate something. I know I'm the hominid theory. I think it was definitely people, a different type of people. And either they were, who knows, fucking mutants or something, and they were special, and that's why they were the royalty of the time. Probably because they had bigger heads with bigger brains. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. And maybe it's just a form of human that died out because it was so, I would say, not elite, but unique. And they just kind of got bred out for some reason. Or maybe they were just all killed. Maybe they were dick leaders and they just got all killed by the people. But it's still happening now. They still do it in Africa. It's still happening. And even probably South America. But it had to come from something. And we've seen and it's, again, it's all over the world where we see this. That's so right. I'd love to know.
Yeah. And not only is it all over the world, it's something when you look at it, the elongated skulls never seem to pop up as just as their own little mystery. It's like, where did this come? It's just like the story that I'm looking at. There's all this weird, is it a rock? Is it a pyramid? Is it just all kinds of goofy shit that's attached to the elongated skulls? Pretty much anywhere you look at it, there's something else sidecar to that whole thing.
And then our boy Brian Forster, who did a ton of work on this. I've mentioned it before, but I don't know if your audience has heard it. There's a series by L.A. Marzulli called The Watchers, right? And he comes at stuff with a very Christian point of view, but he does explore other things. And he did The Watchers 6. He's with Brian Forster, and they go out into Peruvian desert where there's a bunch of grave robbing going on. It's private property, so there's just bones everywhere, like effing everywhere. And you can find elongated skulls that are all bleached out from the sun, like laying on the beach. And the one thing he has brought up, along with many others, is there's no saddle sutures. Is that what they're called?
Yeah,
on the skull.
Sutures, yep.
Yeah, it's completely different, and that's supposed to be impossible.
Yeah, that's what's interesting about that, actually. You know, the debunkers will point out that sagittal sutures, your skull sutures will heal up slowly as you get older, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an elongated skull that's from a 60-year-old man, then it shouldn't have any sagittal sutures. But in that book that I was just telling you about, I mean, here, I'll just grab the damn thing so I can pretend it's just sitting right there. This is the Chief Comcomly. He's old. He was a very old man. And it's 65, 70 years old, and he's got a sagittal suture still right there in his elongated skull. So,
yep.
There's a lot of the debunking stuff. It's frustrating to me because a lot of that debunking stuff is just done from a place of bad faith, of just trying to shoot it down and be done with it. And it's like, well, I suppose it's all fine and good if you're like arguing or debating, but if you're actually trying to find the truth, you're going a little too quick with that, man. You should probably slow down and like actually evaluate what we're looking at here, because it's a lot more to it than just, again, there's got to be a reason that they're doing this stuff to begin with. There's a mystery here, and instead they just, you know, they try to pawn it off like it's some sort of tribal scarring or something. It's like, well, it's vastly different.
Yeah, again, like, who in the hell wakes up? What, like, what do you, I mean, there's some form of veneration going on, right? So they, like, what the hell are you doing? Fuck, I don't know, it could be aliens too. But and then there's the kids that don't have the suture. So that, like, in that episode they bring up a young skull that doesn't have it. So it's a lot with the internet debating, which you're really good at, I mean, is all about the debate. Sometimes it just gets into that and not like, hey, let's explore this. This is pretty weird. Wouldn't you want to find out why they did this and just go, so oh, it's just some tribal shit. Nope. It was just those savages doing stupid shit. It's like, ah, you know, I think we're finding out that that's not the truth. I mean, sure. Yes, they did human sacrifices and rip people's hearts out too. I mean, you have to think. Yeah. Sky people. The chat's mentioning it.
Yes.
Lots of talk of sky people.
Well, and the other thing too, like, usually this isn't something that the entire tribe would do. This isn't just something the entire group of people would do. It was the nobles, the hires, the people that were in charge of the community. So it wasn't something that, and this is kind of ubiquitous. You look anywhere you find this, you see that it's not the whole tribe doing it. It's just a handful of people that are doing it. So it's one of those things that's a little bit weird when you start seeing multiple things like that, even if it's started from one spot and it's a shared tradition, it's still something weird going on there. And it's, in my opinion, and many of other people's, worth investigating more.
Sure.
Brian, I'm glad Brian's been doing a good job. I mean, he's down there finding those tunnels in Cusco 15 years before the scientists are willing to admit they were fucking there.
Yep.
Scientists are like, oh, there's no such thing. And Brian's like, man, give me a couple hundred bucks, I'll fucking take you down there.
Yeah, I'll take you down there right now. I'll climb a 14,000 foot mountain smoking a cigarette and, you know, dude's a beast. I love
him. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. The ancient Peruvians seem to be the most interesting. Yeah, those are interesting. There's a lot of it's frustrating because the ancient Peruvian archaeology has a lot of problems that you see in a lot of poorer countries. That a little bit of money can go a long way. Yeah. And like the elongated skulls, I did a video on it, and just repeatedly corrupt investigations, and just they look into it and they do a half-assed job of it. Stuff gets hidden, and Rockefeller gets involved and throws some money around, and they're like begging, oh, we need money to reconstruct all these skulls and stuff, or reconstruct all these skeletons. And they get the money and they use it to clean some fucking fabric with. It's just like, dude, this is everything stinks about for the story from the start to the end.
Yeah, and well, it's that battle with science, like the science is settled. And I know not everyone thinks like that, but, you know, I was going down a rabbit hole last night on the Silurian hypothesis, right? Just because it's fun. But you also find out, like, freaking PBS did a video on it, of all people. And they're like, we don't believe this stuff, but what if? And it was actually pretty good and informative as far as, you know, a layman like me, when it comes to fossilization, they explain like how rare that is. Mm-hmm. Like something has to die. It has to die in what, mud? And then it has to be the right temperature. And then it has to have enough. If oxygen comes in, it'll fuck everything up. So it's so effing rare that we have no idea what the majority of species were on the planet in its history. We have no idea. We know a little percentage, right? Yeah. Of dinosaurs or anything. There is a big blip. I just learned this last night. For Tyrannosaurus Rex, there is a big couple million, maybe it's more, blip in there. You know, there's just a part of the record where they're not found at all. Mm-hmm. So it's like that part of time was just scooped out. And we don't know why. Maybe we just haven't found something. So we can relate that. And also, like, most of the ground we're standing on, guys, it's pretty young, relatively speaking. The ground that things were standing on a billion years ago is gone.
Yeah,
it's gone. It's all sucked into the earth. So, you know, how the hell would we know? So take it to hominids, right? We're still discovering new hominids all the time. All the time. And what's the percentage that we've discovered? Probably one.
Yeah, at best, I would say.
Yeah.
At best. Yeah, it's and that, I mean, how can you even guess that? You know, it's like we don't know what we don't know. That we're estimating based on, how do you know how much of something you missed, right?
It's
no way.
It's great though. It's great that there's still tons of mystery, and it's great that we don't know shit. You know, we were talking about it on Forbidden Frontier last week. We were discussing, you know, monkey math, which is physics, right? Physics is how us monkeys try to understand the universe. And, you know, it's funny. It's like we get a basic understanding, but it also gets flipped on its head every 10 years. So, you know, like, how could that possibly be the basis of absolute science? And it is, and that's fine. There's really much smarter people than me figuring this stuff out. But then every few years there's like, wow, this is impossible according to physics.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you're going to find a lot of that. And now that we have better technology, that's going to start happening a lot more.
More and more and more. Yep. It's a funny thing with like the psychology of a human brain. We want to have the answer. We want to have an oracle. We want somebody we can go to and ask. We want a Neil deGrasse Tyson that we can go say, hey, man, tell me the truth. And then they can emulate the oracle at Delhi and smell some sulfur and tell you what's going on here. You don't either have a pastor or a scientist that does it, but science, like you said earlier, like it's a non-scientific statement to say trust the science, right?
Yeah,
That's not how science works. It's not, the science is never settled. Even something that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, we will never say that it's settled. So on the one hand, like when people are trying to find science giving us these cold hard answers that are all encompassing, and what science doesn't even fucking deal in that shit. So it's a weird little juxtaposition where, and this is where that little gray area is where a lot of these debunker clowns end up sitting, because it's easier to throw rocks at something that you know nobody's going to research. None of your colleagues, none of your followers, if you're a debunker, is going to dig deep into your arguments. If you're making fun of a pseudoscientist, they're just going to say, oh yeah, good job, kick that guy's ass and walk away. So it's easy money, right?
It is, and it's. I mean, the house always wins with them. It's their game. They set up the rules, you know. So anytime an outsider tries to come in, you know, they could pummel them, because we've got our papers and we got, you know, that we've made up. By the way, this whole system that we've made up that is now the system, the authoritative source. And what's happening is like the gatekeepers are falling on this. The barbarians are at the gate of science, because more people are getting interested. And hey, listen, and I'm a big dummy, but we can also smell bullshit when we see it. And the corruption, the political ideological corruption of science is the worst thing that has happened to it. Yeah, it's the pendulum has swung over the last 100 years so bad. That it's complete. It's a religion to them now, as far as their ideology, and it clouds all of their thinking. So, you know, we'll get statements like Graham Hancock is a white supremacist just because he wants to look into Atlantis, basing it off of one person's perceived ideals from the 1800s.
Yeah.
Right. And it, you know, and the term fascist comes up, and we hear that shit all the time. And it's just a shutdown argument, right?
It's just a shutdown argument. That's right. It's to make it where if you Google Graham Hancock and you start scrolling and you see the words white supremacist, you're like, oh, fuck, I don't want to click on that. How many months is it going to take to purge my search history of all this crap that's going to come associated with it? So it's very calculated, and it's very underhanded. Which is one of the reasons that a lot of times my followers and my subscribers will complain about it some, but anytime that these debunkers get, you know, ugly like that, I try to make sure and keep it personal until they either shut the fuck up or until they apologize, man. It's you don't get to go around calling people racist and then cry when they throw rocks back at you.
Yeah,
That's top of the heap as far as cancel culture shit. It's calling somebody a racist or a sexist. So
yep. Oh, there's a meme about that with the girl shoveling shit over the fence, and then it gets shit back. She's like, "I'm the victim." You know, it's like that's it happens all the time, and that you know that hyperbole that they throw out all the fucking time is going to start coming back at them, and they're not gonna be ready for it.
Oh, not at all.
They're not going to be ready for Dan.
Or Gary, or lots of other people. No, like you mentioned the Silurian hypothesis, and one of the things that's funny is like it's a thought tool, basically, right?
Yes. Okay.
So you look in the Silurian hypothesis, and eventually, like ultimately, the conclusion is nuclear stuff. If they had some nuclear power plants and shit, we could definitely detect that. So this becomes the bar. This is where they're at. And then they say, hey, man, we found some, looks like there was some nuclear activity going on like a billion years ago on this planet. Man, it's crazy, huh? Oh, yeah, not like that. You see that nuclear activity over there, there's some different stuff about that. This isn't the nuclear activity you're looking for. It's always with these kinds of things, always the bar moves, the goalpost shifts. And, you know, if you had talked to me 5 years ago, I would have just said that that's bullshit to even consider that this is something that's being done deliberately. But after dealing with a lot of these guys, it's like, man, what? Look at the trees with Göbekli Tepe. It's like they'll, on the one hand, they were talking just a year ago, they're talking about how great these trees are and they're saving the environment. Now they're talking about how the trees, they were always planning on taking those trees down. They won't ever admit that Jimmy Corsetti is the one that started beating that fucking drum. Yep. And now they're finding stuff that was underneath the goddamn trees. And they still won't give Jimmy credit for it. Same thing with the vases. It's like Ben Van Kirkwick is the one who's popularizing the pushing of those forward. So we get to a point where it's clear at the very least they had a lathe about 2,000 years earlier than you would give them credit for. And that's just an argument that the debunkers pick up. Then they don't credit any of the work that any of these people have done to get there. They're just like, yeah, they had a lathe back then 2,000 years earlier and act like it's their new cudgel. It's like, dude, you didn't figure this out, dickhead. He figured it out. Mm-hmm. And now you turn around and hit him with it. What the fuck is wrong with you? It's instead of holding hands and like working together, like has happened so often in living memory, instead of doing like that, it's something about the internet politics, fucking craziness, whatever, tribalism that it's just got where people can't shake hands on anything. I swear to God.
No, they, oh God. Kira, totally in pop culture world, Kira Knightley was asked about the J.K. Rowling boycott, which didn't exist because she's doing an audio part on the audio book. And she's all, no, I've never heard it. And I just think we live in a time where we got to kind of sit down and get along with our differences. And she is getting destroyed on Reddit right now. Absolutely destroyed for just saying we need to all get along. You know, that's where we're at. It's because one side is willing to get along and a percentage of the other side, a very hardcore one, is not.
Yeah.
Period. And it's ego. It's humor. I asked you about it. You know, like what was the one thing holding all this stuff up with ancient history on when you were on, and you said ego, you know, and I totally agree. That is a currency, especially in academia, you know, is your perceived integrity. It's not integrity at all in your perceived views. That is their currency.
I mean, the papers that they write don't get cited, but I mean, they can be cited a million times by their scientists, but we're never going to see those things. We're never going to know, you know, unless it's me or you might, but the vast majority of people don't see those papers. They're not going to read that. And they're sure as hell ain't going to know who a guy like Flint Dibble is. Had it not been for the arguing with Graham and all that shit, nobody would know his name except for a few archaeologists. And this is very clearly a way for these people to have, like, you know, this is who they wrap their ego up in. It. This is who they are. And then it's just like, dude, this isn't science, man. This is the opposite of science. You're going around telling people you can prove a negative. I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was no Atlantis. And fucking Flint said that it was the same as flat Earth, which even if you take Atlantis and say that there was no such thing, flat Earth is something you can observe and prove is wrong. You can fly up and see that the Earth is round, but prove to me that Atlantis didn't exist. You can't. It's a thing. It falls into that Russell's teapot argument.
Yes.
Okay, exactly. It's like something you can be forgiven for not believing it, but you don't have evidence to prove that it's not true. Fucking come on.
Yeah. They just don't want to seek it out for some reason. And it's political. It's absolutely ideological. And because we've asked the question before, like, don't you want more work? Like the possibility of Atlantis and having a study of it, that can employ a lot of people. That can get a lot of funding if they took it seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. And they are closing their doors of these institutions, you know, of a lot of the archaeology and anthropology departments are getting closed right now.
Yeah.
And so, but you know, they alienate the people like me and you who are ready to buy their books, but I'm not going to buy the book of somebody who's, you know, talking shit about me.
Yeah.
Now we got my boy Rubate here who says, is the alt space becoming saturated? I think a little bit, but I think a lot of that's due to the AI crap. It's really easy, and pyramids are something that a lot of people just point their AI gun at.
I don't think so yet. I mean, there is that's a good question, and I think as much as I like, it's my main hobby outside of pop culture. So as much every night I'm watching videos, and yes, at least four or five pop up that are 2 hours long. There's about brand new channel, 3,000 or 4,000 subscribers, an AI thumbnail, and I'm like, how are you going to go over Atlantis for 2 hours? Oh, this is AI. So, and then you know the voice comes up, and it will saturate it. So it's up to us. But as somebody who's into the UFO thing, which has been saturated forever just by people, you know, you find the people you trust and like, and AI is going to saturate YouTube on absolutely everything. So, I still think in the alt space, we don't have a name for it, right? Alternative history, ancient civilization space, whatever it is. I still think it's way more exciting. It's way more credible. We're actually getting new evidence. There's a ton of energy in it still. Graham's coming out with a new book. There's shows left and right. There's conferences. I those conferences seem to be getting filled up as much as the UFO ones. So, listen, this isn't, I think the ancient civilization space is sexy as hell, but it's not as sexy as UFOs yet. It's just not, you know, it'll get there because quite frankly, there's a lot of, there are some academics and it gets into the weeds. You guys get into the weeds and I love it, but you know, it's not as sensational as UFOs can be.
Well, yeah, UFOs is easily packaged too. It's very, very quick. Here's a little green man in a flying saucer. Now, WG says, this is a good question. I want to trust this Gary guy, if that's even his real name, but I also heard he likes pineapple on pizza. Can we really trust him on anything if that's true?
It's true. And it is the food of the gods, WG. I will die on that hill. Of course, you just can't have just pineapple. It's got to be pineapple, jalapenos, olives, Canadian bacon, you know, and then a little buffalo sauce on it. So basically, it kills your insides. And I eat it because I hurt myself to feel at this point. So
I hurt myself to feel. The pain tells me I'm still alive.
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh, man. No, I'm a pretty big fan of alternate histories, you can imagine. Atlantis Bros. David Miano likes to use that term, and I like that term. The Atlantis.
I like that too.
Yeah, it works just fine.
That's good.
Oh, somebody told me that was sexist, but I don't really. I so don't care about that. If that's all it's going to take to upset you, this is going to be a shitty ride. But you probably want a different car than the one I'm driving. But the cool thing to me about a lot of this stuff is that we're at the spot where technology has got to the point where I can sit down and read these papers. I can sit down and access most of the books. I can access most of these things. I can have a conversation with a professional. I can have a conversation with somebody else, with Graham or with you or with Jimmy, and get the ideas from the other people that are straight from the horse's mouth if you have a question or something. And so we're at a spot where all these different hypotheses, I think the thing that's stopping, it's harming us the most, is that a little bit of the polarization and the tribalism can creep into our camp too. And whereas the archaeologists tend to fall under a scientific consensus and they get into their little lockstep, and even if one of them, I don't know, gets in on Joe Rogan and lies to 20 some odd million people, mm-hmm. none of their colleagues are going to call them out. But we're a little bit different. We're like a herd of cats. We've got, everybody's got their own opinion as to where Atlantis is and all this kind of shit, right? And we have to be careful, in my opinion, that doesn't degenerate into like open warfare. There's the only people that I will make an exception for that for are the ones that, people that are clearly obviously grifting. If you know you're full of shit, dude, go fucking sell it to somebody else. Get out of the community. I won't be very polite to you. But anybody else, I mean, you can be wrong as fuck about something, but if you believe that you're
passionate about it, it's the people who are just rolling up bullshit. And there's so much of that in ufology, and that's why ufology's been a mess. There's for every Richard Dolan, there's a, I don't know if I want to say the name. He was at Cosmic Summit.
Oh, yeah. You're fine. Whatever's clever.
There's a Billy Carlson. So.
Yeah. What do you do? It's like, especially with the UFO stuff, man, because, you know, it's not just the amateur grifters. The fucking CIA and KGB were fucking playing disinfo with that for like 70 years. I mean, this is... it's hard to trust anything you get from that stuff. A newspaper from 1955 that you went and found the fucking newspaper at a garage sale yourself, and it's even still, it might have CIA fingerprints on that thing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's that deep. So the UFO stuff is always like, it's interesting to me, but as far as making videos goes, it's a lot harder for me because I don't feel like I can say anything with any definitive.
No, but like when you dig up a vase, you know, when from the ground, like it's a vase. It's old. It's absolutely been found in a grave that predates, you know, the early kingdom. So it's that's known. So we have some facts to work off of. You know, like the statues on Easter Island or in Malaysia, not in Malaysia, got him, Sulawesi, is that what it's called? So they're all the ones with the folded hands, right?
Oh, and
Göbekli Tepe. I keep forgetting what part of Asia they're from, but those exist. They're there. It's highly debated on how old they are. We get some pretty, I think, very young dates that make no fucking sense whatsoever, especially even with the wall of Sacsayhuaman. But that's there. It's tangible. We can see it. It's not some fuzzy photo of a triangle thing, you know, and that's what we have to work with in alt history. And I think it's great. But, you know, you also have to take the steps to go through it. Like, hey, you're looking at this big, crazy wall. And you know, the layman, the normie can look at it and go, okay, that's crazy. But sure, they, you know, we humans have been capable of a lot of things. It's like, sure, but they're way older. They're way older before we had things like metal, you know, and then even when we had the bronze tools, they couldn't have made these things. So that's crazy. And I think I wish more people were curious about it, but I guess they just didn't know. So the awareness level has gone up, you know, since, you know, I was listening to Graham Hancock on Art Bell back in the 90s, back in the 90s. So I got his book, Fingerprints of the Gods, like pretty much when it came out. Cause he did a show and I'm like, holy shit. Ran to the store and like the bookstores had the metaphysical section, which is all crystals and shit. And you'd find Graham Hancock's book, read it cover to cover multiple times. And thought it was amazing, but then he kind of, you know, the interest in Graham went up a little bit cause everybody listened to Art, but it wasn't really until Joe got him on with Randall in 2014 or 15, maybe it was even 13. And it started blowing up, and that started that reignited what Art Bell had started, and now it's brilliant. But I think more people, it's really good that Graham did that Netflix show, because that was we watch it, you and I watch it, and I've heard all this before. You know, it's great to see it with visuals, but I've heard all this before, but so many people hadn't, right?
Yeah.
So that really was a gateway drug for a lot of normies, and that's what pissed off academia so much. They were so fucking mad because they've been trying to make something like that for years to get people interested, to get them funding, grand just like, I'm just going to do greatest hits from my book.
and they can't even, and he couldn't even go to Egypt and still is fucking rocking the house. He's like, yeah, I'll do literally basically one hand tied behind my back. It's like the number one spot. I mean, I can't cover it, but still no problem. And the thing too, that's, they did try the archaeological community had that Cave of Bones thing. We talked about this a little while I was on your channel, and they annihilated Lee Berger for it.
Yeah.
He launched a couple of Homo naledi bones up into space with one of the SpaceX rockets, and it came back down, and it was a total total propaganda, you know, publicity stunt. We're going to put this billion-year-old hominid up into space with a modern human, and we'll get his little finger bones back down. And a lot of anthropologists and archaeologists were talking shit about it. It's like, what's the point of this? And it's like, are you that detached from fucking humanity? You don't see the point. Is space is fucking cool, you idiot. And we're gonna put this in this, everybody's got, why is this tweet getting so many likes and so many retweets? Because people think it's cool. Just because you don't,
that
might be the clue for you to shut the fuck up. Maybe you shouldn't be the one dealing with the public.
And yeah, exactly. And you need to get into why don't you think it's cool? And it's fucking ego. It's exactly. Ego.
I didn't think of it.
Listen, that fucking documentary, which Graham tweeted at, the only reason I knew about it was Graham's like, this is amazing. You need to watch this right now. And I've watched it like 3 times, dude. Mm-hmm. It's fucking amazing.
It is. That's
more work for you guys. You just, it opened up, dude, it opened up questions on the nature of consciousness. Where did ours come from? Where did our religion come from? We're not the first hominids who built something, built something and had reverence for our dead and worshiped. That's crazy. There was a little chimp with a smaller brain, basically, that walked upright, that was basically doing very human things. That I think that breaks the dam on everything. And you need to start rethinking everything at that point.
That's right.
And I think that's great. That means job security, you know.
That means more to think about too. More mysteries to ponder as far as that goes. We got just Chetan Sharma, Chetan Sharma. He's been making all of these jokes about were they hominids? Is that why they died out? And asking these questions. And you know the immortal Archie Bunker. He had a joke that when he's talking about how the women were created to serve men and to have babies. And you could tell this because women all had short legs and they were kind of fat, and that would have made them harder to catch. And so Meathead says, well, what about the women that had long legs? And Archie says, well, you just throw rocks at them. And he says, well, Meathead says, well, what about the guys that had short legs and they're kind of fat and they couldn't even catch the short fat women? What happened to them? He goes, well, those are your first homos. So now you want to know where they come from? They're in the immortal words of Archie, this is how it happened. I can't believe that stuff's on YouTube because that stuff is so funny. It's so terrible. So
funny. And it was written, they wrote Archie to like, we're going to make him the most vile in their eyes, right?
Yeah.
Norman Lear, right? So like it was in their eyes, like we're going to make him. He was so fucking popular.
Oh, so popular. So popular. Funny,
everybody loved Archie.
Oh God. Oh yeah. My grandpa used to go off on that show. Even years and years and years later, he'd watch it. That shit was funny.
But yeah.
Even though the boys from South Park, they talk about how they based Cartman on that, because if you want to be able to make a character that can say whatever the fuck you want, you just make him an asshole like Archie Bunker. And then you can get away with anything.
You can get away with everything and just go, oh, yeah, he's a terrible person. He's supposed to be a terrible person.
Yeah, of course.
You can say everything you want to say. Then there's people who just say anything they want to say and not give a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Which isn't as funny. I mean, you know, it's like, It's like making a funny song. You can make a funny song, but make one that's a parody. Do it like Weird Al. Make it sound like the original. It takes a little skill then.
It does. A lot of skill. Parody takes a lot of skill. The problem is that South Park is seeing right now is you can't keep up with the parody of the world. That we're living in the parody right now.
Yeah, it doesn't get much. It's hard to make it crazier than it is when words don't even mean anything. I did this post on a Magic the Gathering group that I'm in on Facebook just to fuck with people because everybody's all freaking out about April O'Neil from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The Magic card has her black, and so people are like, "Oh my god!" Blah, blah, blah. And I said that you know, it's I'm old. I do the colorblind thing, and I had, of course, everybody tell me that being colorblind is being lazy and being terrible. And I said, well, look, man, I'm old, and In Vogue told me that back in the 90s. They told me to, you know, free your mind and the rest will follow. Be colorblind. Yeah. Don't be. And they were black women. So at the risk of sounding not colorblind, I'm going to defer to these black women. And yes. unless you're black, in which case it's just ridiculous. If people are like, they want to fight about everything. And it's like, clearly you're not colorblind. If I get pulled over by the cops when I've got my black friend riding a shotgun with me, I'm fully aware that they're going to treat him differently than me, that there's a good chance that they're going to treat him differently than me, and I'm going to understand that. By the same token, I'm not going to turn around and say, I think this guy's dumber than me because he's black. And I think that's what In Vogue was getting at, although I'm not black, so I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, hell, the Democratic Party, people from the Democratic Party were saying, well, black people can't go get IDs. They can't get an app. So, like, stupid shit like that. I mean, like,
Jesus Christ, man.
Some parties just don't change, man.
Oh, fuck.
They don't change.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm not a fan of either party, to be honest with you. I don't like the way politics, puts people, especially in America, where we've got this shitty two-party system, so they just kind of lump all of our... My opinion on gun control should have fuck all to do with my opinion on abortion, should have fuck all to do with my opinion on finance, right? So, but here in the States, we get to put all those together. And I'm not a fan of any of it, but the biggest problem that I have with the left is that they don't have any room... It's much quicker to find a lefty that will just call everybody that doesn't think like them a fascist or, you know, some horrible name. There's plenty of right wingers that just call everybody commies. Oh, they're fucking a bunch of commies. They're a bunch of horrible people. But the left, man, holy shit. I've been personally had some horrible things said to me because I've been on Joe Rogan. And it's like, did you even watch the episode? Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what Joe said? No, you just fucking, you know, Bernie
saw the thumbnail. Yeah,
Bernie Sanders was on Joe Rogan too. Would you say these things to Bernie? Of course, fucking not. Fucking people, brain dead.
No, anyway. there's a lot of. Well, that's what makes. I mean, I'm an independent too, and that's what makes it the hardest thing. Is being an independent means we're never going to have a party. We're never going to have any representation because we're so independent.
Yep.
But that's the way. That's the way I've always been.
Yeah, I vote. Vote generally speaking for the people that I think are going to do the best job. Like that are going to have like the most integrity, but even that's like you can't even pick that anymore. You know, they all just fucking lie. And even the good ones are fucking bad now. It sucks so bad. I hate politics.
It's a fucking scripted show, and it's Hollywood for ugly people.
Yep. So I miss when we were kids or young adults even. And you remember when 9/11 happened? Like, if you went to the bar 2 weeks later and your one friend showed up and he's all like, man, this is the start of World War III. And it's fucking, you're just like, man, shut the fuck.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck. Nobody wants to hear about your fucking dumbass political opinions, you fucking idiot. And now it's like all you hear about in bars is a bunch of fucking people lined up talking about politics. Like, Jesus Christ, man.
I know. And World War III.
Yeah. And World War III. Oh, anyway, I like big rocks more than I like politics.
Yeah, I like going to ancient sites. I like watching older movies. It's way more entertaining.
Yes, it is.
And less predictable.
Yeah, I love older movies. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, talking to a friend that in hindsight, it was Star Wars Episode I. That was really like the Phantom Menace. That was when I really just kind of like, I don't think I need to watch the new movies as much. Like, I was all hot. I mean, I loved Event Horizon. I love Starship Troopers. I loved where things were going. And then Star Wars Episode One and Jar Jar Binks. I was just like, okay, man.
Yeah.
But unlike you, who you watch the things that you hate because it's your job. So that's brutal, my friend.
It is, but it's something I did anyway. So I'm such a fucking nerd. I try everything anyway, and I watch. I don't know if I would watch as much, but I would say at least 80% of what I watch, I'd still watch anyway. So that's the beauty of my job. Was I was. I'm such an obsessive nerd that God, I can't even remember when the internet started. I would go and find entertainment sites. Be going to the Force.net, the OneRing.net, getting in the forums. Doing that every day when I got up in the morning. That was my, like, I didn't watch the fucking news, right? I just went to my fan sites and obsessively went over this stuff and discussed shit way before I had a YouTube channel. So I was already doing it anyway. And now I just get to do it for a job. It's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome. Yes, Tammy. Thank you. Tammy got me this shirt. She was commenting on it, this Sleepy Hollow shirt. Yep.
Oh, yes.
Oh, THX 1138. Fuck yeah. That's a good movie right there. I mean, it's not as good as Soylent Green, but THX 1138 is a good flick.
Yeah, it is. George's first. Yeah.
Yep. I enjoyed it. It was definitely no Star Wars, but it's still pretty good.
It definitely not. But that was still in an experimental time in the late 60s, early 70s, when stuff was getting a lot cheaper. And they started breaking away from that studio system, and we got some bangers, man. And it was, you know, the 70s sucked. They were terrible. And I think bad times can bring out some good art, at least it used to. People like say now's terrible, 4 years ago was terrible. And I'm like, yeah, last 4 years were pretty bad, but not as bad as the 70s. 70s sucked. I don't know how many people out there remember it, but it was pretty brutal. I went to New York in the 70s, and it was it's bad now, but it was worse then. It was way worse then. San Diego was terrible, where I grew up. Fucking awful back in the 70s and 80s. So, you know, things do get better, but man, entertainment now it's in a bad place because it got too corporate. It went hyperactivist over the last 9 years. And they prioritized a lot of things over storytelting. And it is indicative of like how the health of our culture. It shows you the health of our cultural ecosystem is in our pop culture. And if it's sick and diseased and stupid, that means our culture is too.
There's
the whole thing of an ecosystem is breaking down, like when the frogs start dying or the birds start dying, with our pop culture, which a lot of people don't take seriously and don't realize how important it is to our country and to everybody. People shame people for fucking playing video games and stuff, and they just need to stop that because it is important to people. But when you see things like the comedy dying, right? So there's no good comedies. There hasn't been for years. That's terrible. That's utterly terrible, because the comedy was so important to movies. But also, you have the romantic comedy, which are stupid fun comedies. Then you have like Idiocracy, you know, you have comedies that really kind of put a reflection to America and clown everything. And the thing is, the same with what you were just talking about with academia. There is no self-deprecation. They take themselves so seriously. Their egos are so fucking fragile. There is no self-deprecation. There's no self-deprecation in our culture, particularly from Hollywood right now. Hollywood used to make comedies making fun of Hollywood all the fucking time, all the time. And they'll still do it, but they only make fun of half of the country right now. Yeah. They will not make fun of, they will not hit the other side. There's shows like The Boys, which people go, oh, they hit both sides. No, they don't. They hit one side with a nuclear bomb and they hit the other one with like a water pistol, you know, and South Park is doing the same thing right now, you know, which has been pretty equal in the past with who they roast. They're dialing back on it. So it's not good. It's not fucking good. And like, nobody wants like one side dominant, right? Well, what I think us people who are independents, I like balance, right? I like balance. And that's something we don't have in any institution right now in our fucking country, in academia, when it comes to local schools, the government buildings, government workers, corporations, any institution you're talking about right now is so fucking out of balance. And it hit ufology, it hit ancient civilizations, all of it. And it is politics and it is ideology. And it sucks because UFOs and Comic Cons and all that shit were where I went to get away from that shit. And where it's the stuff where we can like put that aside and like fucking ideological ufologists. Let's think about this. The government has been against ufologists forever. They've hated you forever. Why would you side with them on either side for anything or trust them about anything when it has been proven that at UFO conference, the CIA and three-letter agencies have infiltrated UFO conferences and try to spread misinformation. Yes. This is proven. Why would you trust them on anything now?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of mind-boggling.
No, it's absolutely mind-boggling. We're in a spot where it's getting really bad with that, where it's even as the polarization gets further and further, we end up with that seeping into science. And that really, we're really fucked when that happens, man, because we've got, you know, if you have like a challenge happen. So say, for instance, like take the old problems we had with big tobacco and how they pay scientists a lot. Mm-hmm. So now you end up with a scientist on one side, a scientist with another, and a judge that doesn't really know the science. They just know how to rule on this stuff. You end up with where it's not about science anymore. By injecting politics and ideology into it, they make it where you trust the scientist you want to. And that's that at that point, we're, you know, we're just a few steps away from being like completely up for grabs, as Carl Sagan said. He put it, said that if we're not able to ask skeptical questions and to be skeptical of those in positions of authority, then we're up for grabs. And that's exactly where we are.
Yep. And that's exactly where we are. And we got to be careful that the pendulum doesn't swing the other way. Some people might be resentful enough to like, fuck it, I want that pendulum swinging. And it's like, yeah, I've been there too. But no, we don't want that. That's not good. Because what have we learned? Once one side establishes a precedent of doing something horrible, like shutting down a country and then deleting accounts when people question that narrative and all that, then the other side will do it too. Like it just will. And it'll feel like it has to. It's like, well, it was done to us. So now we got to play them at their game. And you know what happens? They fight each other and everybody, like the people in the middle, all we get fucked.
Look, like I talk about this when Elon bought X, and it was like, you saw everybody go from all the right wingers went from it's terrible to be banned from a social media platform for saying the wrong thing to pointing and laughing at the left wingers getting banned from a social media platform for saying the wrong thing. And all these left wingers that for the last 10 years were like, say the wrong thing, get banned. Ha ha ha. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe I said the wrong thing and got banned.
We got banned.
It's like, you fucking, there's to me, it's so weird because it's like arguing about how to break the rules instead of taking the next step and just like, can we take care of the rules? Can we do this right? Can we just like be fair and then worry about, but the ends justify the means type of mentality. That's one of the reasons, especially the left, but the right does it too. The fucking buzzwords that are emotional. They're meant to draw emotions from you. You're not disgusted by gay sex. You're homophobic. You're transphobic. You're afraid of that person. You hate that person. It's like, oh my fucking Christ.
I'm fish phobic because I hate seafood. It disgusts me.
Exactly. You know, I'm afraid of
things
it.
Can just disgust a human being. It doesn't make you a bad person. You know, it's like, I don't care if you guys exist out there. I just don't want to see you making out. I mean, like, it's okay. I'll leave. You know, like,
yeah,
it's all good. I just don't want to see that two dudes macking. That's fine. I don't care that they do. I just don't want to see it.
I don't want to see
that. Yeah. And I'm not sorry.
This isn't even complicated.
I'm still here, by the way. I just got to.
Oh yeah, you're fine. Thanks. One of the things that was really weird to me, a place you could see it was when gay marriage got passed. It was like, it didn't take very long at all. And the people, we had gay people going to, not very many, but going to like bakers out in the middle of nowhere and then having them bake a cake for a wedding. And then of course the guys would say, I'm a Christian, I'm not going to bake this. And then they'd have all these problems. And it was like, you know, I understand the law protecting people from being discriminated against, but if you have to go hunt the dude out in the fucking middle of nowhere in Montana,
you're driving 150 miles to go to Christian baker.
Mm-hmm.
passed up 100 bakers, yes, including gay baker, you know, like, fuck you. That's you're looking for trouble, and then we're starting encroaching on each, well, whose rights are more important, because he's got religious rights and you've got rights. Both are human rights, by the way. Both are human rights. This right to, I am going to practice my religion as I choose and I'm going to love who I choose. Okay, that's great. It's not like you don't have options. You have options to go to gay baker and then put a guy out of business. And just because you're looking for trouble, that doesn't win you any friends with anybody. That doesn't help your movement at all. That, as a matter of fact, it creates great resentment with the trans group now. In the past, I lived in San Francisco for 18 years. I knew a lot of drag queens, and it was just a bunch of gay guys who liked to dress up as women and sing in bars at night. And they knew, they understood it was an adult activity that they did for fun. Great. No problem. When you're starting to push ideology of any kind like this, by the way, on kids, and which is bad, and also it's coercion. So trying to coerce people into denying the truth and policing our language, that's when it's just human nature to go, fuck you. Don't be telling me what I can do. I'm fine with you existing, and you have human rights. You have basic human rights, and I'm not going to. But when you start going out looking for trouble, and my friend Carolyn, she works at Ripaverse. She worked for Unlimited Games, the company Unlimited Games. Going to tell this story, made Fox News and everything. And the Harry Potter game was coming out, and she basically put a post up saying, "I'm really enjoying this Harry Potter game, or I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be neat." A trans person hunted her down, found a tweet from 2012 where she said something to the effect of, well, dudes should go in men's bathroom and women should go in women's bathroom. And a shitstorm happened and she got fired.
Jesus Christ.
She got fired.
Wow.
Of course, she got interviewed on Fox News. She was famously canceled. Elon, it got Elon's attention and everything. And it was for a 2012 tweet. So I have this question. What does that do for the trans movement? Does that really move things forward? Does that really, you know, get people to understanding you at all? No.
It just makes some people mad. Is all
it enrages people, and it hurts your movement because of one individual who is just a fucking chatty Cathy dude who's a Karen and decided and really isn't comfortable in their own skin. That's the truth of it. And it goes down to insecurity and ego. Who's uncomfortable in their own skin and has to like lash out at other people, like to the point where you have to like obsessively dig through their tweets. So, you know, Kara ended up on top. She ended up at my friend's company and she's doing great right now, but that happened. And again, that doesn't help your damn movement at all.
No. And the thing is, to take it back to two big rocks and to archaeology and all that. The thing is this kind of mentality has seeped in so heavily into archaeology and all these other things. I mean, you get consistently labeled right winger, and then they call you fascist, and then they call you racist and a homophobe, and they throw the whole fucking litany at Graham, and it's basically like everything in certain people's heads has to be a political fight. There's nothing that's not. Like I saw somebody not too long ago, and they're not the only one that says it, but I couldn't believe somebody actually said it, that all art is political. And like immediately I couldn't help but sharing, you know, remember the song Fish Heads, Rolly
yes.
Fish Heads, fucking tell me the politics behind that, you fucking dumb nut.
It's Barnes and Barnes.
Yes. That was directed by, Game Over, man. Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton. Yes. Yeah, that's true. Did. That video.
Yep.
Oh, dude, I'm a big fan of Dr. Demento.
Yeah,
that was the number one song for a long time.
Yes, it was. But yeah, so to those of you who are irritated by us talking about politics, to me, I never wanted to. When I started making videos, I was addressing arguments that people were making, but I wasn't talking politics at all. I still don't want to, but to some degree, you have to, because they have made it to where it becomes a left-wing thing. There are people that I will talk to that will tell me that, well, this is a racist idea because, you know, Hitler had those Nazis running around looking for a white Atlantis, ergo. And it's like, dude, this is that stupid-ass argument. Well, Donald Trump liked to drink water, so it's fucking come on, you guys.
That's not political, okay? It is not when you're coercing somebody to deny the truth and not use their speech that they have grown to. That is not political. That is a human right. Okay, free speech is a human right. They should be free to speak as much as the right. Like, sure. Absolutely, totally support that. But when one group or another is start to compelling me to tell me how I fucking talk, bullshit. That's authoritarianism, and that, yep, that goes way beyond political. And now they're using it as a tool to silence people, and that's in academia. I don't know all of Graham Hancock's politics.
Yeah.
And if I knew him, I wouldn't care. I love his work. I don't give a shit what his politics are, but he has now been the victim of this. And my guess is, Dan, is that Graham probably agrees with the left on a whole hell of a lot of shit. Oh, yeah. Like most of it.
He's
like
a fucking hippie, man.
Like JK Rowling. Yeah. Like, so that's the whole point. Is we're getting way beyond left and right, and we're getting into, oh, you can't speak.
Yeah.
Right. And academia, which has been completely, as they say in YouTube, audience captured, is now, you know, using coercion to fight the truth, or at least seeking it. And that's where we just stop evolving, right? We stop evolving, we stop innovating, and, you know, show's over.
Yeah.
So, and what happens is academia knows that they are not winning. They're not winning the argument right now. In the court of public opinion, they are losing very badly. They have horrible PR. And they need to work on that. And you know, it'd be really fucking easy working with Graham and not shaming him, just working with him. You could disagree with him on stuff, but have a friendly debate. And you know what? You'd probably be let into the party.
Just have a chat, a conversation with the guy. I mean, this is something me and Jimmy Corsetti, like, we disagree with each other on all kinds of things. He's way more into conspiracies than I am. He's more into ancient high technology than I am. He is less skeptical than I am on a lot of these things. We get along great, even though we both don't agree on a number of things. Like when we were talking about conspiracies, I mentioned that, you know, I think that he sees conspiracies where they don't exist, but I also think that if we were both Jews that were alive in 1930s Germany, that he would have been the one to leave the country, and I'd have been, well, they're never going to put us in camps. What the fuck are you talking about? So the thing is, you just a little bit of humbleness and humility instead of saying, that fucking conspiratorial idiot, what does he know? I'm so much smarter than him. You try looking at it from the other perspective, and you quickly find, like we talked about when I was on your channel a week ago, when the pseudoscientists and the scientists hold hands and sing kumbaya together, we get real shit happening. We get stuff happens. We get carbon dating on Giza Plateau. We get fucking Zahi Hawass's degree, for fuck's sake. And this is like demonstrable. This is proven. But right now we're at the spot where, the two sides of it are, again, the side effects of the politics thing. It's so polarized that the attitude of, instead of trying to find a compromise, has become give them an inch and they'll take a mile. And if that's the attitude that both sides have, you can't have a functional democracy.
No,
you're just gonna fight in the streets.
No, like what I mean, the positive thing is with the Comet Research Group is there is legit, like real legit scientists working on this. And that, I mean, we don't want to put a shadow on that. That's been super positive. Whatever they come up with, they're working together, and they're academics, and they're all pretty cool.
Yeah.
They're all like pretty cool with Graham, and they're good at answering questions and talking to people. And some of them showed up to Cosmic Summit. So they're, you know, we need a hell of a lot more than that. And that's how, again, universities, you want more money. You package your history in a sexy way, find a good speaker to present it, and you will get a following. Like, it will happen. And there's a bunch of like really, you know, people are way more into mysteries, so that's why they're going to lean more into Atlantis and ancient civilizations and aliens built the pyramids and all that stuff, because it's fucking cooler than dude in loincloth rolled a rock, pushed a rock across wet sand. You know, it's like, it's way more sexy. And some of that is just the truth. But there's still a way to package it. Like, I watch a lot of really basic historic videos that are amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. You know, and they just need to do more of that. And again, when you hear the real, when you hear the academics' view of science, they're always poo-pooing stuff. Like, this is a possibility, but no, I don't believe it. Uh-huh. No, I don't believe it. You know, geology is fucking fascinating. Rocks are fascinating to me, and they've always been. I would never have the patience to go to school for it or anything, but since I was a kid, I always, like, I'd be walking around Yosemite going, wonder how long that rock's been there. Wonder where it came from. You know, and I'd spend a lot of time, way more time than a fucking 10-year-old normally would think about, like, where this fucking rock came from, you know, and and it got me curious about it. And it's pretty amazing, you know, when you're walking around Texas and you're like, this was all under the water.
Yeah.
Everything I'm walking on is like dead life, dead fucking sea life, like everywhere. You know, that's weird. That's really strange. And and these rocks I was walking on weren't even here, you know, a billion years ago. Like they need to find a way, because it is truly weird. And they need to like kind of lean into that. Like, let's get into the really weird shit. And I think that would get more people interested, because we love a good mystery.
I think you're absolutely right. That the loving a good mystery part, that kind of goes to what I was saying earlier about how the people are looking for a font of knowledge, or looking for an answer, they're looking for that oracle. And the reality of it is usually don't have a good answer. Usually we're not going to have a solid thing to say, yes, this is the case. Let me look at they find that face at Göbekli Tepe on the side of the T-pillar. What does it mean? We don't fucking know. We can make all these speculations. We can come up with all these different ideas. We don't fucking know is the only real answer that you can have. So that's not, that doesn't feel good to be like, I'm the font of knowledge and I'm spouting ignorance.
Yep.
But, okay.
No, you think they find that face, right? And the first thing they should do is, okay, we need to find people who are even tangentially involved in every field possible to look at that face. Sculptors, like fucking, you know, geologists, everything, and ask as many questions, because just go, we don't know and we're open to ideas, you know, get some historians, obviously historians involved, so don't get some too whack theories, but like ask as many questions as possible, and sure, you're going to get some bullshit, but it's better than no, we don't know, and we're only going to ask a couple of people, or we're going to keep it within our research group because we don't want to lose the credit or other bullshit that gets in the way.
Yeah.
You know, and it really does, instead of just opening it up and go, hey, anybody with any ideas? Because somebody might have a really good one and it might be close to the truth.
Yeah, it could be dead on, but they're, you know, they're stifled or they're considered to not be listened to, then, you know, they're put in the back of the bus, so to speak, in those regards. And a lot of us, I mean, a lot of people, like we talked about a little bit last week, Thor Heyerdahl is a great example of this. His work was completely shit on, a lot of it because that Kon-Tiki thing pissed people the fuck off. That made people so angry. Mm-hmm. And because it threw a monkey wrench in all this stuff that they believe. All these things where they're like, oh, you couldn't do this, couldn't do this. He's like, yeah, you could. They fucking do it with like rats on a log, man. No problem. And then all of a sudden, his other stuff, they just overwhelmingly attacked, called him a racist again. This is pretty standard. And then slowly he gets vindicated. And then, yeah, if you look at, take the words that he said now, and you could look at him through a modern lens, and he doesn't look so hot. But I can't believe I have to say this, but I say it all at the goddamn time. Abraham Lincoln used the N-word all the fucking times, and he freed the slaves. So the thing is, you have to kind of look at the times that the yes. things happened before you just judge a person. Jesus Christ. I can't believe I have to say that, but a lot of people are fucking stupid nowadays.
They are. And you do have to say it. You do have to repeat it. Was the geologist's name in Graham's book that Randall talks about? It is not the one. The Scablands guy. The Scablands guy.
Randall Carlson's the one that talks about the Scablands all the time, but
yeah, and it
J. Harlan Bretz.
J. Harlan Bretz. So he had to go through the same thing. He got shit on for years, and then like right before he fucking dies, they're like, "Oh, you were right about everything. Here's an award." You know, it's like, Jesus Christ, how many times we could have avoided all of that, or at least half of it. Let's just say half of it. Give him the award when he's 50. You know, like don't. Don't go 90 years or whatever with finally coming around to what's like clearly there, you know? It's the human condition, unfortunately. Graham, I hope he lives for 1,000 years. Graham will be we love him, mm-hmm. but Graham will be recognized in the future for his work, like as one of the greats. And Graham was just a reporter who was really curious about shit. And had mm-hmm. the ability and means to travel a lot, had a very patient wife who would travel a lot with them. That signifies a good relationship out there in the chat. If you could travel with somebody and not fucking hate each other by the end of the first trip, you're good. You're solid. And she's great. She's like, I didn't meet Graham, but I met Sansa. She was freaking great.
Just Sansa's hilarious. She's great.
She is funny. She was funny. She did talk a little shit about Doctor Who, so that was felt good.
Yeah, she was cute. She makes some good jokes, and you know, Bretz, he actually published aerial photography of the area in the 50s, and it still took 20 fucking years before they accepted his work, and it was like how much? I mean, that's like aerial photographs, and it still took 20 years. It was slow to get that stuff accomplished. And the chat's talking about Nick Zenter, who's a local geologist here in Washington State. He talks about the channeled Scablands quite a bit too. Nick Zenter's awesome. The only problem is that I'm 99.9% sure that old Flint Dibble reached out to him because I followed him and commented on how I thought he was pretty cool. And then he stopped replying to me about a day later. And Flint's done a lot of that in the past. So
what a piece of shit. And Nick is Nick. Like, I know Nick. I was like, I know that name.
Nick Zenter. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's done a bunch of videos on YouTube and he's a great presenter. He's really fucking funny. He's really funny and he's brilliant. And I hope Flint didn't get to him because it'd be great to talk to that guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. He's. I know several scientists that have told me that he reached out to them and scorched the earth. I mean, just recently we were going to have a debate with going to be in a debate me and him and Jimmy and a few other people looks like, but Flint bagged out on that because of arguing on Twitter and. I'm sorry for him. I don't really, you know, if you want to bag out on that, I was already invited and then he was selected. So we'll just pick somebody else. I don't really give a fuck. And as far as that goes, and the fact of the matter is Flint's all upset because I said some spicy things about him but or his wife. But the fact of the matter is, I didn't say anything about his wife, the same as he didn't say anything about Graham being racist. I just made a comment in general, just a vague comment, and he interpreted however he interpreted it. So I don't know what to tell you.
Flint's out there clowning like us all the time. I don't give a shit. Yeah. Like, get in line, Flint.
To me, he's guys like him and John Hoops, they would be fine if they weren't so sneaky and underhanded, manipulating Wikipedia, talking to scientists behind other people's backs, shit like that. They're basically complete pieces of shit, as far as that goes. And
they need to be better, like, presenters and streamers too.
They need a tailor for
fucks. I saw Flint's bio, because the only reason I saw it is he responded to Garrett like really quick, like he had a picture of Garrett in his phone, and it says YouTuber in his bio. I'm like, oh fuck, I'm gonna put archaeologist in my bio. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh man.
And well, maybe he's trolling, I don't know, but dude, it's Nick Zenter, what I watched a bunch of his videos. He did one on why there's so much like lava in the Northwest, like, yeah. there was huge, like, it wasn't a trap, but it was like there was huge lava flows for millions of years, thousands and thousands and thousands of years in the Pacific Northwest. And he did a great one on that. He also did a great one on, like how much the caldera at Yellowstone, he pointed out like where it's moved, and it goes like all the way into the Pacific Ocean. There's like different calderas.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's fucking weird. So and it's super entertaining. So yeah. I hope you get to talk to the guy. I hope he opens up and talks to people, 'cause I think he's a good one.
Yeah, I hope so too. I drive right by his college a couple of times in the last.
What's the name of that college?
It's Central Washington University.
Central Washington. Yeah. I knew some directional university.
Yeah. So. But it was great. Like a little over a year ago when there was fires that had shut down certain passes. He's like, oh, this pass is closed. And he fucking was hiking up there. He's like, you can never film these rock formations, but I can right now. Check it out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He's just like kid in the candy store. You could just see the excitement in his face. It's great. Gotta love that.
No.
About 8 more minutes, and I'm going to call it here, if that works for you, Gary.
Works so, for me.
Anybody's got any more questions for us, now's the time, because we're going to be gone here in a few more minutes. One of the cool things that Nick talked about was that the flooding pattern that they talk about from Glacial Lake Missoula, that's basically Randall Carlson's arguing counterpoints with that. There's a lot of the water flow isn't completely put to rest by mainstream academics. There might be there's a paper published last year about it coming down from the north under the other ice sheet, as well as coming from Glacial Lake Missoula. What's the best day of my life? When Star Wars Episode I came out.
That was the best day of your life?
I'm kidding. As I said earlier, when I fucking quit liking modern movies.
Right. What's the best day of my life? I mean, aside from kids being born and getting married, day I walked out of prison.
Fuck yeah, man.
Best day of my fucking life. It was great. Absolutely great. I like everything. Dude, you could hear the birds singing. Colors were a little brighter. I understood what freedom was. And the best meal I've ever had in my life was a Denver omelet at Denny's. Yeah. It was the greatest thing I ever tasted. So.
Oh, hell yeah. So we got one here that was any ticket giveaways for the gathering in December. I don't have any tickets to give away. I think Robert might do something like that. I'm not sure. You'd have to ask him.
Will be. I haven't gotten any, but there probably will be at some point, I would guess. We're doing a conference on December 5th and 7th in Scottsdale. Dan's gonna be there, and David Hatcher Childress and William Henry, and some asshole named Michael Collins.
Yeah, some
little prick.
Some asshole. And Mike, another Michael Button guy, that Jimmy Corsetti.
Jimmy Corsetti.
Sounds like a fucking mobster.
He's going to get there and complain about the trees at the event center.
The show make an offer they can't refuse. please ask Gary when he's going to watch Stargate SG-1.
Someday. Yeah. I'm. That's a big commitment, Dan. I mean, it's like 11 seasons.
Gigantic box set. Yeah.
Yeah. It's 11 seasons of one show. That's not even counting the other shows. And I like, if I get obsessed into something, I'll watch all of that shit and not make content on YouTube.
Yeah. I find myself getting obsessed with things. I have to be careful all my life. When, you know, I saw my friend playing EverQuest like 25 years ago and I watched him just cracking out on it. I'm like, I'm never doing that. I know I'll fucking die like a crackhead just sitting there and degenerate like one of those Koreans that fucking dehydrates when they're playing video games. That'd be me.
That's why I stay away from them. I like, I got myself in a lot of trouble. I played City of Heroes. And I started playing it like in my comic shop and like starting to ignore customers. And I'm like, oh, this isn't good. I got to stop. I love that game so much.
Oh, time to unsubscribe. Gary's a white supremacist. Okay. Has Jimmy quit doing videos? No, he has not quit doing videos. He's just been a busy guy right now. I hope that this JB guy was joking about you being a white supremacist.
You better tell my staff.
Yeah. Yeah. make sure and let X know.
Yeah.
Oh shit. I play City of Villains. There you go. Where Gary's toy room become a museum. Fuck yeah.
Maybe. It kind of is. It's a artistic representation of what goes on in my head and of all the things I love in order. In the order I love them, which is complete chaos.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Yeah, I used to collect a lot of that stuff. I toned it way back after I got cussing my kid. As before I was fighting for him, before I was spending a lot of money on that stuff, I had not as much toys, but I had quite a few. It was mostly video games and electronics, but I had quite a few toys. I could tell you stories like the sealed VHS and Betamax and stuff took way off a few years ago. Okay, about 15 years ago, I bought a shitload of Betamax tapes from a dude. And so, like, sealed tapes weren't worth much then. And in 1 week, I opened the original release of Beastmaster. And it's like, now it's like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 worth. Just, I just don't feel like buying a DVD. I'll just fucking open it. So, but, I mean, it is what it is.
So, you got you have a Betamax player?
I do. I have tons, like most of the tapes on the wall behind me.
Yeah.
Like, here's a rare one. You know the Mitchell Brothers, right?
Yes.
Mitchell Brothers, Betamax, and this is Reefer Madness and Cocaine Fiend. So out of all the porno tapes that they had at the porno shop, nobody bought Reefer Madness. So that is a rare duck right there. I got a bunch of that kind of crap. I'm a big
Mitchell nerd. Brothers. I wonder if the strip joint is still in San Francisco. They had one.
Yeah.
For up until like when I left, but I used to get I used to tell my wife, because there's Mitchell Brothers, the strip joint, which she knew, like she had clients who worked there, and then there's Mitchell's Ice Cream, which is like the best ice cream in San Francisco, and I'd always get them mixed up, and I'm all, let's take the kids to Mitchell Brothers. And she's all, what?
Put them together and what do you got?
Yeah.
What was the most excited you've gotten in recent months regarding archaeology and stuff? I mean, honestly, that Under the Pyramid scan was pretty crazy. That still has me coming back to take a gander. I'm just hoping that the technology, the software gets shared around a little bit so we can get more people weighing in on it, because that's, you know, science is always nice when you got multiple people with that replicability.
We can couple that with Ben's talked about it before and other people have talked about it before, but the labyrinth is like really kicking off, because when he went on Joe Rogan, that was a great episode.
It was great
and watched by millions of people, and Michael just made a video on it too, and it's like giving like the quick history of it, which was fucking great. If those people scanning under the pyramid, Ben had brought it up at Cosmic Summit. It's like, if we can get them over there, because everything's been shut, Zahi shut the whole thing down, and Ben goes into it, will be the most exciting archaeological find of the century, of the next 100 years, of the next 500 years, if they find this thing.
Yeah,
and absolutely. And it's understandable. Like, Ben has put out, like, here's the problem with it. It's probably filled with water, and it's filled with water because of agriculture. And if we excavate it, it might disrupt that flow of water, which would disrupt the agriculture. So you're like, okay, I mean, that's a practical problem in the real world. You want people in Egypt to eat, right? But there's still, well, oh, well, then we have this satellite technology and we could just scan the shit out of it. And if it's there, then we work on the problem of diverting the water so they the farmers can still get their water. Because it would be, hey Zoe, it would be a national project that would bring in twice as much tourism than you have now. It would reinvigorate. I mean, Egypt's always jumping off, but it would be nuts if they found this. It would be, I hope they go through with it, with scanning. Again, Ben, I don't know what's the update of it, but Ben was just like, hey, you can scan this, because people asked him about it. He's like, yeah, I brought it up to him. So, I hope they do.
Oh yeah. Yeah, me too. Well, I think we're going to call it at that, Gary. I've got to get ready to go pick up my little kid and get ready to take a trip. But I really want to say thanks. I appreciate you coming on the channel and sitting down and chatting with me. And
it is my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me on. You're an effing people. This is how he is all the time. He's a fucking cool dude, and it's great meeting you in person and hanging with you. And I look forward to do it again.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, I look forward to it too. And for those of you who want to meet us both, December 5th through 7th, Scottsdale, Arizona, we're going to be there. Link down in the description. And thanks so much for watching, everybody. Thanks again, Gary.
Thank you.
And we'll see you guys next time. Oh, press the buttons.